All right, welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris, one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. Welcome to those of you with me in this room at our Brader Way site, those of you who are watching online, and those of you who are at Blackhawk Fitchburg or at Blackhawk downtown. Welcome to everybody, no matter what site or venue you're at. Today's talk is the second in a series of three messages as we're going through the series called Heart, Head, and Hands, Three Pathways to Spiritual Growth. So what we're trying to do in the summer, in this part of the summer, is to focus on our spiritual growth. So you can see on the calendar here, see what we've talked about last week. Pastor Matt talked about our heart. My job today is to talk about our head or our minds, and then next week to talk about our hands, like what we can actually do. So we're having serving fairs at all sites and venues along with this message, because spiritual growth is complicated. One of the things that Pastor Matt said last week is that we don't like to do how-to messages at Blackhawk, like how do you do this, how do you have a good marriage, how do you get a good parent, because those tend to simplify and make simple things that are very complex. So the idea of like how do you grow spiritually, there's a lot of complexities to that kind of a question. So it would be like if you went to a doctor and you ask her, how do I grow healthy physically? Well, depending on what doctor you're talking to, they're going to say different kinds of things. But probably most doctors would say something about what you're taking into your body, like your diet, your food intake, that kind of thing. They probably say something about exercise, and they probably say something about rest. So we've decided to kind of tackle this spiritual growth issue because people still come up to all the pastors and go, how can I grow spiritually? So we're kind of taking our cue off of what Jesus said when a Pharisee came up to him and said, what are the greatest commands? And the Lord said, this is the first and greatest command, that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you see, as the way the Lord answered that, so it's complex, is all of those kind of things. And spiritual growth is not just about something that happens to me, so you should love your neighbors yourself. You're also involved in community. You're doing other kinds of things. So my task today is to talk about the second one of those things. Matt talked about heart last week, so my job today is to talk about our head or our minds. We're going to grow spiritually. What do we do with our mind? How do we engage that? Well, there's a gazillion verses in the Bible about how to engage our mind, and today I've chosen just basically one. So there you go. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Paul wrote the book of Romans to people who lived in what city? Awesome. Well, five of you got that right. This is awesome. We're in for a good talk today, I can tell you that right now. Romans is about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. It's about what God has done for us. We can have a right relationship with God because of what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in him, we begin a new relationship with God. When he's talking about the gospel, it's not just about like, you know, okay, now when you die, you're going to go to heaven, that kind of thing. So that's silly. So your life is transformed. You're like changed person. If you are someone who is a part of Christ's community, your life should look completely different. So in generally speaking, in Romans 12 and the rest of the chapters in Romans, he's now moving into this very practical section. Like in view of what God has done, what do we do now? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I want to, for today's purpose, I want to basically just focus on only one of those verses, and that is verse 2. So let's focus on verse 2. Look at it again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love that J.B. Phillips, in his little translation, he translates it like this. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. That's a great, like a paraphrase of what's happening. Let's look back at the verse again from the NIV. Do not conform, and Greek, it's uses a variation of the Greek word schema, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, another play on another word for form, morphe, by the renewing of your mind. So I put those Greek words there because Paul's doing two things with those imperatives. He's talking about formation, and instead of using the same word, he uses different Greek words to talk about this idea of formation. There's a whole series about spiritual formation. What does he say? He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice also in that verse, he's contrasting two different world systems in that verse. Look again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Notice in the highlights there, those are two different systems. So you've got basically the system of this world, and then you have the kind of system of God's will, basically. And they are not the same. If you're going to be spiritually transformed, Paul is saying, you can't be conformed to this. Now you need to be basically transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can know this. How are you guys doing with that? It's two completely different ways of seeing things. It would be kind of like different glasses that you might have on your face if you had these. These are my glasses. Awesome. I should just like preach all the time on these glasses, isn't it? It's awesome. So basically, he's saying that you've got like two different ways of seeing the world. I can see the same, I'm looking at the same group of people right now, but you guys look different when I have these glasses on than if I have these glasses on. The facts have not changed, okay? But I see the facts differently. So if someone says, well, what's the purpose of life? The more important question, well, how do you see things, okay? What's your worldview? Because if I have one worldview and I try to answer questions about what's the purpose of life, what's the way in which I should go about, you know, using my body or power or what's community like, if I have this set of glasses on, I see things completely different. But I can look at the same questions, have the same set of facts, but depending on my glasses, I see things completely different. You guys follow that? This is a very simple illustration. This is about worldview. So many believers, when they get upset with the world, and they go, well, look what's happening in the world. It's just all falling apart. Why can't those people, why can't they? I'm like, back, like, calm down, okay? People who have not been transformed by the Holy Spirit, they're doing the best they can with the equipment they have to work with, okay? They only see things this way. But if you've been transformed by the Spirit of God, you see things completely different. You have a different set of equipment. Back off, don't get angry. People can only do what they can with the equipment they have to work with. How are you doing with that? So the question is, how are we spiritually transformed? Look back at Romans 12, 2 again. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The million-dollar question is, how then is my mind, how can my mind be renewed? Well, if we're talking about spiritual things, our mind is renewed spiritually. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, that means one time you've placed your faith in Christ and Him alone for your salvation. When that happens, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and transforms your life. A fancy word for this is called regeneration. Or Jesus said, you're born again. It's different now with you. Paul talks about that to the letter to the Corinthians. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them really brilliant and wise. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Considers them what? No, just so you guys can all read. Read that. Considers them what? Say that again. Foolishness. And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through a brilliant intellect. No. Through what? Through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord who's so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How are you guys doing? You come into different questions of life. Well, what's the purpose of life? What's my relationship to community? What do I even think about community? What's evil? What's good? What pair of glasses do you have on? Because depending upon your worldview, you're going to see things completely different. And if you have these things on, you cannot, you see? Foolishness is foolishness to you. So spiritual transformation, if I was going to summarize spiritual transformation, I would put up a slide like this. Well, I am putting up a slide like this. We refuse to be conformed to this world because we've got two different worldviews here. We say, no, we're not going to do that. Our mind is renewed by the Word and the Spirit of God. Then we're able to discern and desire what the will of God is through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Then we do it. Don't skip that one. Repeat. That's spiritual transformation. That took about 15 minutes. All right, let's pray and go home. That's how your mind's renewed, right there. You don't conform to the pattern of this world. The Spirit of God enables you to see things in His Word, so you desire the will of God. Then you do it, and then repeat. That's spiritual transformation. All right, well, that's okay. Well, like, what does that actually really look like in life? Well, the very first thing I would say, if your mind's going to be renewed, basically, is that you got to be out of step with the pattern of this world. If you're following Christ, that means you're not following the pattern of this world. Now, give me some examples of that. Well, man, there's like a million. So let's just talk about two. Two would be like how I view like my body and how I use my time. How I like view my body and how I use time. Let's talk about our bodies. Let's talk about sex. Awesome. In this world, the pattern of this world basically is that, hey, you're a free being. You can have sex with basically whoever you want to, as long as you're not hurting someone. There's a consenting adult, don't hurt anybody. As long as you're not doing that, it's pretty much awesome. Just do whatever you want to do. It's okay. And if someone says no, well, they're judgmental. Okay? So why do we get mad at people who think that, you guys? Okay? They're doing the best they can with the equipment they got to work with. All right? But that's the pattern of this world, all right? A transformed mind by the power of the Holy Spirit thinks it doesn't think like that at all. The only sexual behavior that's affirmed in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is in a loving marriage between a man and a woman. I mean, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. And that relationship sexually is supposed to last, forever. It's so out of step. It's like, that's so bizarre. That's so radical from the pattern of this world. It's just completely not like the pattern of this world at all. August 26th is coming up in a few weeks, and it's a Sunday. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be on the beach in Florida with my wife, celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for clapping, but my wife's not here right now, so that's a... She told people that she works for an accounting firm, that she was going to be gone in August, and the person she was talking to says, oh, what are you going to do? And she said, well, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary in Florida. Person said, 40th anniversary of what? She said, well, like of, you know, our marriage. You mean being together? No, like our marriage. Oh my gosh, how could you stay married to anybody for 40 years? It was foolishness to him. Let me ask you a question. Why do you, well, you look down on those people? Why? No. They're doing the best they can with the equipment they have to work with. But people are spiritually regenerated. Oh my gosh. We just approach everything completely different. I love to tell people when they ask how long I've been married that I've been married for 30 wonderful years. Not bad out of 40. In baseball, that means I'm batting 750, basically. In baseball, they put you in the Hall of Fame for that. People ask my wife, did you ever want to divorce him? She says, absolutely not. I've wanted to kill him many times. Now listen, I know there are people that I'm speaking to right now in this venue and the people that are watching that have gone through divorce. And right now it's hard for you to listen to this. I'm not saying that God cannot work through divorce, okay? Don't hear me say that. My wife and I totally understand the pain that divorce can cause people. Our own son has gone through divorce. We understand how painful divorce can actually be. But God can bring life out of death, light out of darkness. He can bring flourishing out of divorce. He's that kind of God. He can do that. All I'm saying is this. If my wife and I obeyed the pattern of this world, we would not still be married. We see things differently. All right, so what about, that's our bodies, what about the way we use our time? Well, the pattern of this world means that you're to spend your time around people that are like you. People are the same socioeconomic, same kind of interests, the same kind of thing. That's the pattern of this world. You just hang out with people in the pattern. Everybody's alike. Whatever view you have, it's all the people with your view. Like, oh, everybody like that. That's the pattern of this world. That's not the pattern of Christ, okay? He said, well, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, who's my neighbor? Well, it's a person just like you. That's not what he said, right? No, it's like that person that you can't even stand. That's your neighbor, actually. So people who are not conformed to the pattern of this world, they spend their time differently. They hang out with people who are not like them. Absolutely. With renewed minds. Here's a story of a friend of mine named Aaliyah. She writes this. Because of the way I grew up, I was always interested in providing kids with opportunities like I had. As an adult, I learned a lot more about how much of that was tied to financial resources, and that if you have those resources, you have advantages that others simply don't have access to. I saw many things that I took for granted because I had that access that a lot of people just don't have. This led me to get involved in the Boys and Girls Club and other sports programs in our community, which connected me and my family into a completely different network. Our experience with being a part of this broader multicultural community led us to consider being a foster family. When we took that step, it opened our eyes to see how great the need is out there. I learned how coming alongside people can change the course of a family, my family and me personally. It's not about how much I know or our culture being the only way. There's a lot we can learn from other people. We were foster parents of two kids for 2 years, and the mom, Christina, and I grew to be very close, and now we consider each other family. We didn't know exactly what we were getting into, but we learned along the way. It's basically extended each of our families. We learned how to parent together and respect each other's parenting styles. Our goal along the way was to get the kids back to their mom, and we knew we'd continue co-parenting because we are now one big family. They were reunified, and we still keep in touch with each other to this day. Christina picks up my daughter, feeds my son, and our family eat her fabulous cooking. We explain to people that we are one big blended family that celebrates holidays and special occasions together. Each culture now knows the other, and we learn from each other. It's now part of the heartbeat of our family. God only knows what the next step is for me and our big, crazy, extended family. That's Aaliyah's story. The Cherneglias are not walking according to the pattern of this world. Somebody say amen. Let me ask you a question. What if everybody at Black Hawk Church didn't walk according to the pattern of this world in our community? Would we live in a different community? Answer is absolutely. Who would be praised for that? God, absolutely. We think differently about our bodies. We think differently about the use of our time. At Black Hawk, we have all kinds of opportunities for you to get involved in people who are not like you. Here are different opportunities. Racial and education equity, homelessness, hunger and crisis response, immigration, human trafficking, incarceration, and post-prison kind of fellowship. Those are easy to find on our website. Just go there and just stretch yourself. How am I spending my time? Am I like everyone else in the world, or am I different? That's the issue. All right, if our minds are being renewed, then that changes things. Let's look back up to the screen. The very first thing I said was be out of step with the pattern of this world. And then second, build a habit of being in the Word of God. Are you in the Word of God, like on a regular basis? Some people, when they have the thing like, oh, I want to discern God's will for my life. I know the Bible is important. So God, help me find your will. Help me. Oh, there, that's a good verse. I'll read that one right now. That's not how you do it, you guys. That's like magic. That's like incantation. That's like pagan. No, you take his word and you go, okay, what's this about? The people that originally read that, what would they have understood about what was happening there? How would that actually apply to me? You guys at Black Hawk Church, we're about the Bible. We're about the Bible. And we do the Bible in all kinds of different ways here at Black Hawk Church. We do the Bible in community. That's one of the things that happens in our worship services. We do the Bible through life groups, encounter, mom to mom, men's community. You can just go to blackhawkchurch.org and groups. You can find all kinds of different kinds of things. We're bringing in a speaker in October, a good friend of mine, Dr. George Guthrie, and he is awesome. We're going to do a whole Saturday on the Bible and faith, like how to interpret the Bible, where did the Bible come from. Some of our teachers will be involved in that. George is fantastic. Have you guys ever heard of when we did Eat This Book? Have you ever heard of that, Eat This Book? How about Love This Book? You ever heard of that? Those ideas came from George Guthrie. Great guy. He's really had a major impact on our church, and most of us don't even know him. So that's corporately. Personally, you need to be in the Word of God. If your idea of being in the Word of God is just showing up to a public service, good luck with that. Personally, you need to be in the Word of God. So we have all kinds of things on our website to help you with that, the Next Steps blog. You can just go to that and you can read all kinds of different things that people in our staff have written about different kinds of things that will help you have your own personal time in the Word of God. A recent blog entry was about some ancient person named Ignatius Loyola. You've heard of his last name. And about his way of praying. That might actually help you. It's helped millions of other people. You can find that kind of stuff on our blog all the time. What kind of books do the teaching team recommend for different kinds of subjects? You can find that at the reference point. And you can go to there and there's just, I don't know how many books are on there. All kinds of different books. We're trying to get people into the Word of God. One of the best ways to do that is become familiar with the Bible Project. Let me talk about the Bible Project for a second. The Bible Project was co-founded by a pastor who used to be here. His name is Tim Mackey. Many people don't remember Tim. Tim left 6 years ago in 2012. And, you know, this guy's like a son to me. I just love this guy so much. But I am so glad that Tim left. I'm so glad that he left. One of the things that Tim and I did with George Guthrie's kind of advice and kind of prodding, he says, why don't you do this kind of thing? We did this thing called Eat This Book. Some of you remember that. One of the things Tim said, hey, I think in Eat This Book, I'd like to put together these Bible in five things. And so we like videoed that, and he had like a whiteboard, and he would kind of go through that whole thing with, this is Genesis in like 5 minutes. And that gave him an idea, and the Bible Project came from that. And now the Bible Project, well, lots of people have tapped into that. Here's what Tim says. We have over 50,000 people reading through the Bible with us at any given time, and over 350,000 people engaging with our content on our website every month. In 2017, 80,000 people read through the entire Bible with us, either on the Read the Scripture app or via our email reminders. Nearly half of our views are international. In 2017, we had 100,000 views in Nigeria, 1.5 million views in Indonesia. And surprisingly, we discovered that a few brave people in North Korea are watching us on YouTube. Who knew that was even possible? Praise God, Tim left Black Hawk Church. All kinds of things are taking place now. Here's their app. If you're not familiar with this app, I think we have you need to download that, you guys. Most of the time, you guys are familiar with the Bible Project when we're trying to introduce books, and you can kind of see the little map and stuff like that. But they have much more at the Bible Project. They have a whole section on how to read the Bible. Some of you are listening to this talk, you're going, I think I'm kind of, okay, this is interesting. I should be reading the Bible more. Download this, go to the section on how to read the Bible. There's like 10 videos to view. Here's one of the videos. Watch this.
The Bible is a collection of many books telling one unified story from beginning to end. But all those books were written in different literary styles.
Yeah, think of it like walking into a bookstore where every aisle has a different kind of literature. There's history or poetry or nonfiction. And when you choose an aisle and pick up a book, you're going to have very different expectations, different things that you're looking for.
Right, they're all literature, but they communicate in really different ways.
Yes, and so the same thing is true for the Bible. If you don't pay attention to what style it's written in, you will miss out on the brilliance of each book.
So, what are the main types of literature in the Bible?
Well, first and foremost is narrative. It makes up a whopping 43% of the Bible. After that is poetry, which is 33% of the Bible. One out of every three chapters in the Bible is poetry.
Yeah, why so much poetry?
Well, poems mainly speak through dense, creative language, linking together images to help us envision the world differently. Poems use lots of metaphor to evoke your emotions and your imagination.
Lots of fancy language, but wouldn't it be easier just to tell me what I need to know?
Well, think about it. In life, we tend to form mental ruts, and we think in these familiar, well-worn paths that are very hard to get out of through logic or reasoning. And what good poetry does is force you off the familiar path into new territory.
Sneaky.
And there's different types of poetry in the Bible. There's lots of types of songs or psalms. There's the reflective poetry of the wisdom books, and then the passionate resistance poetry of the prophets.
Isn't that awesome? Some of you are thinking, well, what book should I start with, Pastor? Well, that's why I did that video right there. You should start Psalms in the Psalms. We're going through the Psalms right now. You can pick up our journal either at your venue or site, or you can pick it up online. This week, if you're keeping up with us, you would start with Psalm 73. That's a psalm about why do the wicked prosper? That's what Psalm 73 is about. It's awesome. It'll take you all the way this week through Psalm 88. Begin with that. Download that app. Just kind of watch a few of those videos. Get inspired to spend time in the Word of God on your own. If you're going to be spiritually transformed, here are the things that you need to be thinking about. You need to refuse to be conformed to this world. Our mind is renewed by the Word and the Spirit of God. Then we're able to discern and desire the will of God. Then we do it. Rippy. Spiritual transformation is about three things, you guys. Just like this tripod has three different legs. It's about our heart, it's about our head, and it's about our hands. This tripod needs three legs to stand up. And if you're going to grow spiritually, you got to engage all three of those things. Last week, Matt talked about the heart. Today, I talked about our minds. Next week, I talk about our hands. Our hands are so important to God. He's actually given us different spiritual abilities so that our hands will really function for him in the best possible way. Those things are called gifts. That's what I'm going to talk about next week. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your Spirit would empower us as he indwells us, as we've been born again, that we would not be conformed to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is so powerful. We pray, Father, that you would help us to not be molded or let the world squeeze us into its mold, but that by the power of your Spirit, we would be different. We would understand what you want us to do by looking at your word, both corporately and personally. And I pray, Father, right now for people who really are only in the word just by listening to a teacher on the teaching team. I pray, Father, that you would motivate us to make being in your word a regular habit in our lives so that through the Spirit, by the power of your word, our minds would be renewed. We pray this in Christ's name and for the sake of his reputation, all God's people said, amen.